show me the coin of the tribune, whose image and inscription is this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Pharisees, they sought to entrap the Lord with this statement. They thought that they could get him to be fearful of saying the wrong thing or offending the wrong group. But our Lord, of course, he was not afraid at all, but saw through what they were trying to do and called them out on the spot, showing them their own hypocrisy, showing them exactly whose image was on the coin, so whom it belonged to. In February of 1867, in the town of Dubna, Poland, there had been recently a great skirmish, or a great strife that had taken place in the land, in which revolutionaries had tried to take over society and the church and to subject it all under strict rule. And it had failed, and the church had been spared. And the people, the faithful of Poland, were so strong in their faith, they were extremely grateful for all that God had delivered them from. And as such, they came to the one place that made sense to give thanks to the church. And at that time in February in Dubna, there was a particular church that was having its 40 hours devotion there. And so, because of the gratitude of the people, they saw a much larger crowd coming to give honor to Almighty God, spending their time and their hours in adoration of the one true God there in the Blessed Sacrament. As they were there, it became apparent for everybody in attendance that something strange was happening there in the monstrance upon the altar. A white glow started to emanate out from the host itself, and it became radiant, shining out to all of the people. And those who were closer to the monstrance that could see, they started to see that in the center there was a figure that could be seen clearly as time went on. It was the image of the person of our Lord himself visible there. People began to talk all about this great miracle, and they realized that everybody else that was in the church could see the same thing. Word spread far and wide, and people came out of not only adoration, but even just simple curiosity to see it. And it is said of that not only the Catholics, but also the schismatics that were there present in the city, arrived to see this miracle taking place. And all of them did. To a man, every single person that was there witnessed the same exact thing. And word began to spread through to everybody what was happening. The priest as well, he too saw it and recognized it to be a great Eucharistic miracle. As it disseminated outwards what was taking place in the small church, the schismatics, who talked about what they had witnessed, they had the ear of the police. They had the ear of the government. And so they began to talk to them and say, something strange is happening down at the church with the Blessed Sacrament. I saw it for myself. I saw it with my own eyes. The police, being skeptical of this and thinking it strange that more and more people were coming to the church than normal, they brought the issue up to the governor. And the governor, being truly an enemy of the church, he threatened the people so that they wouldn't continue to spread what was taking place there on the altar. He said to them that if anybody is caught speaking of this supposed miracle in the church, it'll be punished by your arrest and imprisonment. The priest, for his part, he brought what was taking place to the bishop, told him about the great miracle, told him about all the myriads of people that had seen it, that he himself has seen it, and that not a single person can deny what is taking place on the altar there during his 40 hours. And he said, yet here we are coming to the last day of 40 hours and the government is issuing this threat against us that if we even talk about the miracle that is right before our eyes, that in doing so, we risk our own arrest and imprisonment. The bishop looked at the priest and he told them, forbid everybody to talk about it. Nobody should say a word, because we must keep people out of jail and keep the doors to the church open. I don't want the government to follow through on their threat. And so it was. Dutifully, the priest, he turned to the people and told them to be quiet about the great miracle. It was an action of fear that controlled what was right. God came and revealed himself in that way, miraculously, for a reason. And the story was stifled because one man, a good man, a bishop, he, not that he doubted, but that he was afraid that repercussions might come for their faith. And so it controlled his actions in the moment. Fast forward to 1950, 80 so years later. The communists have taken over in Poland. And there is great fear in the churches. The enemy of the church is at the doorstep now. The enemy of God, this communist revolution that's taking place and this seizure of rights and liberty. And so with that fear that they might come and they close the churches and take away the people's right to attend Mass, many of the clergy signed agreements with the government, signing an agreement to say that they would not speak out against the communist regime, and in return that they would be able to keep their doors open to the public. Now, it never stops simply as a not speaking up, but that fear permeates deeper into a person. And soon they find that enemy has more control than they anticipated. In Poland, what was the result of this? It was the result that as that fear had been standing for a long period of time, that eventually the fear grew. And the priests and the faithful began to, at times, rat out other priests, other churches, for supposed offenses against the agreements, because they feared that their own doors would close and that a persecution would rise up against themselves. And so they became their own worst enemy. This is the very message given to our young adults during the young adults gathering this past summer. We had a guest speaker come in. He was former communist from East Germany who had a conversion and a changing of understanding of political identity and eventually had to escape East Germany. He said that he always wondered why it was that the churches didn't cause fear in the government officials. And it was later on that he found a book there amongst the communist documents. And in it, it had listings of all of the clergy and the agreements that they had signed. And he realized that it was almost all of the clergy in the state. And that's why there was no fear on their part, because they had them under their thumb in cooperation. And so they allowed them to exist, because it was a controlled existence. Recently, in one of the missions that I go to, there was a woman who I was talking to on the phone. very devout lady, and has always been very aware of exactly what's going on in our own current day, the lies being told to us and the fear being pressed upon us about COVID. But then her family got sick, and they all immediately said that they had contracted COVID-19. Now, whether they had or not, I don't know. But she automatically labeled it as such, and that they were planning on getting tested for it and figuring it all out, and so that they had confirmation of what they feared and all of that. And it took me by such surprise, and I immediately asked her why. Well, she said, because we need to know, and we have to see if there's a need of quarantine. And then she asked me if I had ever had it before. I told her I had no idea. And she followed up by saying, well, you know, if you go down to such and such a clinic, they're all over the place, really, you can get a simple prick of the finger, get an antibody test, and find out for sure whether or not you have. Again, I said, why? And her only response could be that, so that you know, one way or the other, aren't you curious? Don't you want to know if you've had it? No. I have no desire whatsoever. I'm not curious in the least. She was puzzled by the response. And I told her, I said, this, it doesn't matter if I have had it or I haven't. What does it change? Nothing in my life. And so why do I want to give it more credence than is due to it? That is the effect. A good, strong person in this mission of deliberate manipulation over a long period of time. It has a title to it. It's called psychic driving, and it is a very purposeful psychological effect done to populations. What is it, you say? It is when a message of fear is repeated over and over and over again for a purpose. Not that you believe at the beginning. Yeah, some people might. But it's that there's a recognition that every man has his breaking point. Every person can be worn down. Every person eventually loses track of where the lie ends and the truth begins. And if you repeat it enough, you move the line. She, the woman at that mission, she was not afraid in the least. She was just curious. But she gave more tribute to that than was due to it. As if it was special or distinct from a cold. And then she didn't even recognize what had happened. For us, we have to see this as the camel's nose. Our only way to fight against that psychic driving and its effect upon us is to do is exactly as our Lord did on that day to the Pharisees. Show me the coin. Show me whose face is on it. Tell me what the inscription is. Reveal the truth in the situation. Expose the lies as they are being told. The people that we are speaking to us, we know they are liars, they are manipulators, they are malefactors. Don't begin to allow yourselves to believe the words that they say. Now, this may seem strange as half of our choir is missing. I promise you this whole entire thing was thought up as a sermon before I ever even came up here. But it is a perfect illustration of why we need to be on our guard. Because of the fact that we are coming into cold and flu season now again. It happens every year. People are going to get sick. People are going to be absent at times. And the powers that be know that, and they're going to start putting more pressure and more narrative to their aim. Why? Because it's an opportunity to apply such pressure to you and to get a little bit further along that line of getting you to submit to their will. As a church, we have done so well. We have been so faithful, and it has made me so happy to see exactly that. All the way through, we've had the full pews. All the way through, we've stood strong against masks and mandates together, seeing the lie and rejecting it and turning faithfully to exactly where we know the truth is, there upon our altar, there in our prayers, heard by Almighty God. That is reality. And we all know it, and we've all trusted it, and we've all done so well. But it has to be done that we must be warned that it is a long game that they play. It has been a year and a half that every single day your ears have bombarded by the same message, that psychic driving. Don't give any room for credence to it. Because once it's done, once the camel nose breaks through the tent flap, the slope gets very slippery. And then all of a sudden, the question of isolation or masking or jab becomes more appealing, or at least more convincing. And we start to doubt our own common sense and life experience itself. We've all been sick before. We've had the cold, we've had flus. We know how to stay away from people when we are infectious and when to come around when it is simply a simple inconvenience and leftover matter. Yet we, if we aren't careful, start to adjust how we act. Don't focus on their brand. Don't look to their tribute as truth. The coin with Fauci's image and likeness is one that is worthless. Instead, remember exactly what has seen us through all along. We turn our focus to the true coin, to the invaluable coin, to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And with 40 hours coming up, we know that by coming often, and we will find our strength, and we'll renew that fortitude in us to continue the good fight. We understand that it is only going to get harder and more severe against us, against our world, against our country, against our society, and against our church. Yet this is the day we are prepared for, to stand and to fight. And we aren't alone. But instead, we have on our side He who is truly in power and truly in control of all, Almighty God. And it's in Him that I find the real truth and I put my credence. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.